This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Pomp and Joe Show minus Pomp, and it's a Donnie Football Friday minus Donnie. But we forge ahead. Ray Fittipaldo. Ray Fittipaldo, I'm looking at him right now. You can watch here on YouTube or 93.7thefan.com. At least I'm here, Ray, and now you're here joining me. It makes for an odd day when there's no Donnie on Donnie Friday and no Pomp on Pomp and Joe, does it not?
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving, Joe. I hope you got
your
fill of turkey and sweet potatoes and all that good stuff yesterday.
We did. We went to Bravo where your friend works. What's his name again? TJ?
TJ Rebus, yeah.
Yeah, legend. I love that guy. Yeah, every time I go in there, he mentions you to me.
He's the greatest.
One of the greatest, anyway. Alex Highsmith is up there, too, Ray. Is he going to play?
Well, you know, Alex is probably going to talk after practice today. He did not practice Wednesday. He was listed as limited yesterday on Thanksgiving when I was down there. You know, looked pretty good in what he was doing. I think today will be the telltale sign. I think, you know, he's going to want to go, but I think the Steelers – are going to have to make a smart decision there. It's a low ankle sprain. I don't think it's going to be anything that lingers. I just think they want to be careful and not bring him back too soon. But if he feels good after today, I think there's a decent chance that he'll be out there on Sunday.
By the way, our waiter last night, I promised him a shout out, Mike Lucas. What a legend he is. Brought extra whipped cream for the pumpkin pie for my wife, my daughter, and I. Thank you, Mike. Well, that's problematic, Ray. I guess, to a certain extent, if Highsmith doesn't play, they've won every game. They're undefeated with Highsmith this year, right?
Yeah, you know, if you listen to Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin talk about, you know, the lack of pressure, you know, they're very much middle of the pack in sacks this year, Joe. And it's kind of gone under the radar because they've been so good with their points allowed. They've been, you know, for the most part, good with their yards allowed this year. But this is a team that's built around pressuring the quarterback. And, you know, when Alex and Nick Herbig were down early in the year, I think it affected them. And I think we could see it when TJ Watt is out there without Alex Highsmith, it makes a big difference. And that's nothing against Nick Herbig. He's a really good player
in his own right.
But that rotation is at its best when TJ and Alex are starting. Nick is coming in there playing 20, 25 snaps a game, and then you fill in the rest with Preston Smith. So, yeah, they need him back, but I would argue they need him back healthy for the stretch run in the playoffs, you know, most importantly.
All right, Ray. The Artie Smith situation I find very interesting here with North Carolina paying a call. He addressed this yesterday, acknowledged that they had reached out. Well, let's take a listen. What I didn't hear Artie say was, I have no interest. It would be very easy to say that. He didn't say that. Let's listen to Artie yesterday with the media.
Reality is, you know, reach out and put under a call. I appreciate it. Love that place, but that's not my focus. I mean, I've got one of the best jobs in football right now. There's a lot to be said, too, about can't put a price on personal and professional happiness, which I have here. Love that place. You know, appreciate, you know, but that's usually how it goes. People cast a wide net and then some narratives get out of control and you try to control it. And it's one way, it's nice to be, you know, somebody reaches out, sure. But again, I've got an awesome job here. Love it here in Pittsburgh. Probably a different mindset than I was 5-4 years ago, where any head job, I probably would have walked there and take it. Now my perspective is different. And when you got something good, like I got here in Pittsburgh right now, family loves it here. I like the working environment, love being a Steeler.
Okay. Again, what I didn't hear was, yeah, I've got no interest in that job not happening. What did you hear there, Ray? Does that shut it down for you or add a little gasoline?
I mean, it was pretty close to a no, wasn't it, Joe? I mean, he's talking about having a different perspective. You know, he took that Atlanta Falcons head job, I think it was 2021. You know, it didn't go great for him as a head coach. You know, I think he's a guy who, and he's mentioned this numerous times this season when we've talked to him, he kind of likes not having the responsibilities of a head coach. And, you know, some guys are built to be coordinators. I think Art is a really good one. But I will acknowledge this one. This is this guy's alma mater. And, Joe, if you think about it, who would be better built to take over a major Division I program that's kind of, you know, like middle of the pack? I would say UNC is like Pitt in a lot of ways. They're good some years, but nothing is ever really sustained. Like the NIL situation with, you know, the heir of the FedEx fortune, I would imagine they would be able to scrape together some pretty good deals for, you know, for some players down south. So, you know, I think Art would be a good fit for that job. But to me, when I listened to that yesterday, it didn't sound like he was all that interested.
Yeah, for me, close to no is not no. And when he says that's not my focus, that's a very interesting opening line for me. And it is his alma mater. And I know he's talked about, yeah, it's great not to have to be the head coach. I can guarantee you if an NFL team came calling, you know, right after the season, he would go back to being a head coach in the NFL. Diana Russini said that he might be in this hiring cycle.
Yeah, and hey, listen, Joe, let's not lose sight of the fact that the vast majority of his experience is as an NFL coach. I know he was like a GA quality control type of a guy very early after his college career ended. But for the most part, you know, he's been an assistant coach or a head coach in the NFL. And I think sometimes, you know, that's when guys are used to working in the NFL, it's very hard to go back to college and to only have guys for, you know, part of the day before they go to classes and that sort of thing. So, again, for me, I thought he shut it down pretty good yesterday, but I suppose it's worth keeping an eye on, depending on, you know, what transpires there with that search.
Okay, then let's talk about Artie Smith and the job he's done. And I might throw in there, Ray, that I do think he's obviously an upgrade on Matt Canada. So are you. Yep. So am I. That is damning with faint praise. I think he's a pretty good coordinator. However, he hasn't vaulted them into the top 10. They're having major troubles in the red zone. They're worse, significantly worse in the red zone than they were in Matt Canada's final full season here. They're worse at third down conversions than they were in Canada's final full season, and they stink at short yardage. So there's some real problems here, Ray, and I'm not sure if Artie Smith left that it would exactly spell the end of the franchise. Would we even notice?
Well, you would notice. I mean, they brought in a bunch of assistant coaches who had worked previously with Art, you know, quarterbacks coach Tom Arth, you know, Zach Azani was familiar with Art. So, you know, there's, you don't want to go about rebuilding your staff, you know, unless you would elevate a guy like Arth to OC. I don't even know if the Steelers have gone down that road yet and thought about succession plans. But, you know, you make a good point, Joe. You know, they're 30th in the league in red zone offense. But I think big picture wise, when you look at the totality of this offense, and listen, the Browns game was awful, both from Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith. I thought that was Arthur's worst game of the season. But, you know, the one thing he has provided for this offense, and I think Russell Wilson, you know, for the most part has done this, is the explosive plays are back. You know, we didn't see a lot of explosive plays with Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. You know, we're getting the ball thrown down the field more. Yeah, maybe they're not sustaining drives. Yeah, they're struggling in the red zone. But that big play element of this offense is back. They are better in total offense, yardage per game. They're better in scoring with Art. Seven games left, whatever it is. They got a chance to turn around this red zone thing. And if they do, I think this can be a pretty good offense going into the playoffs. It's not good right now. I think it's average right now. But if they can straighten out that red zone, they've got some potential.
For sure. I mean, to me, that's Artie Smith is through about, you know, a couple semesters here with some big final exams ahead. And that's gonna be his grade for the season. Right now, for me, it's about a B minus. Twice they haven't scored a touchdown in their first sort of foray into AFC North football. They've been pretty bad for 2 weeks in a row. I give them around a B minus so far, Ray. How about you?
Yeah, I would give them a B. And I think amazingly, you mentioned those 2 6 field goal games. I mean, they won both of those games. So what does that tell you about the defense and, you know, complementary football? I do think some of the time, Joe, we kind of lose sight of, you know, you don't have to take risks when your defense is playing great. You have a lead like they had in that Atlanta game and that Ravens game. A lot of times you're not pushing the envelope. And, you know, sometimes you're settling for field goals because that's what's you're supposed to do in that situation. So I think when push comes to shove, I think Art is going to start breaking some of his tendencies. You know, I wrote on Wednesday. I couldn't believe it when I researched it. It took
that was
me about
great.
2 hours
to
research this. When they get inside the 20-yard line, so the red zone is defined as 19 yards and in, okay? When they have first downs in the red zone with Russell Wilson, a quarterback, they have run the ball 22 of those 25 times. So to me,
on first down,
when they talk about self-scouting and breaking tendencies, that's number one. That's chief on the list to start breaking that tendency. Put the ball in Russell Wilson's hand, play action on first down, change it up a bit because they're just facing too many second and nines, second and eights when they get stuffed at the line of scrimmage. And then all of a sudden you're in unfavorable downs and distances. And that's a tough position to put your quarterback in.
Man, I'll say, so is not having him on the field with the game on the line. We were talking about horrible NFL coaching decisions for obvious reasons today. We all watched that Bears game yesterday. And I didn't think in this calendar week of NFL football, I would see anything worse than the Steelers. And I put this on Tomlin, but it begins with Arthur Smith, I think, when they're third and four and they call for a long pass down the right sidelines and they take out their starting quarterback and the backup throws it for the first time in a month. That was a horrible decision, Ray. Whose fault is it? And do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson was 18 for 22 at that point in the game. He had just stared down a rusher coming straight at him, took a hit, and delivered a great pass to Calvin Austin for the lead, and then you don't give that guy a chance to close out the game. So, you know, it was interesting. I think Mike addressed this on Tuesday. I don't know that Art addressed this, but we asked Mike about, you know, who decides or when do you decide, you know, when the quarterback goes in, when Justin goes in, and he just kind of says it's a feel thing. And sometimes, you know, Art will bring it up, sometimes Mike will bring it up, and you know, we're very early on in this rotation here. So just listening to Art yesterday, I think he said there's a fine line again. I think if you read into his comments, maybe he's going to be a little bit more careful in his usage and when that happens. But there's no doubt, Joe, this guy's a talented football player. You want to use him. You want him to be a part of your offense. I just think it's going about it in a smarter way. When you need a first down and third and four, let's not make this complicated. Let's put your best passer in there and let him do his job. So to me, they can still have the best of both worlds. They just have to be smarter in their usage.
I agree with you. I want to see Justin Fields. I do not want to see Justin Fields throwing the ball way down the field on a third and four with a really important divisional game on the line. It was just,
yeah.
Do you take Ben off the field? What are you doing in that situation? And I was
not running a 5-yard route.
Anything yeah. But that. And then I was surprised with Tomlin's answer. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's him. Tomlin is a guy who consistently throughout the course of his career, even when it's not his decision, says it's my decision. You ask Mike Tomlin, as I have, hey, who gets the final call on draft picks? He wouldn't even say to that. Sometimes, you know, it's a mix. Sometimes me.
Yeah.
He didn't say me. He said it's my responsibility. And so is this. So I was a little surprised by his answer there, because honestly, it is his responsibility. If the game's on the line and Artie Smith wants to bring in Justin Fields for a third and four throw down the field, Mike's got to somehow put his foot down.
Yeah. So that tells me Mike was okay with it.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, you know, it was a cornerback other than Denzel Ward. So he felt really comfortable that George would win that. It's a 50-50 ball by definition, but I think he said it's more like 80-20 when George is out there. So he had full confidence in that play. But I will say one thing, Joe, just being around the team at practices and just talking to people, Mike does let Artie kind of run that show on offense. Mike is going to weigh in on those quote-unquote weighty downs, but this is a very well-respected offensive coordinator in Artie Smith. He's put together a good staff. You know, for the most part, when it comes to game plans and personnel packages, Mike sort of lets him do his thing. So I don't think one bad game in Cleveland is going to change that. But I think that's important to point out, given what we've seen the last couple of years with Matt Canada and maybe even going back to Fichtner. I don't know if there was that trust there. I think Mike trusts Artie Smith a lot more than he does his previous coordinator.
And I'm glad about that, because I think one of Mike's weaknesses for a while now, is hiring people that he could sort of bulldoze and make decisions for them. And Matt Canada is a great example. I like the fact that Artie Smith is here and that Tomlin lets him do his job. It's just that in a situation like that, I think you have to exercise your veto power. And then it wasn't just the game in Cleveland, Ray. The week before against Baltimore, they didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah. And listen, the end of that game, Joe, you know, everyone's talking about Justin Fields going down early and sliding, but that was a perfect example of using Justin Fields properly. To me, when you bring him in there for those two weighty downs and you don't let him run on either of those occasions, to me, that's just it was just kind of like running into a brick wall. You're bringing him in to the game for a specific purpose. He's your best runner at quarterback. Why not utilize his legs on at least one of those two downs? So I get it. You know, they had a fourth and one or a fourth and two stuffed early in the game. They didn't block it up well. Maybe they had a bad feeling about it. But when Justin Fields is in the game, I'd rather see Justin Fields run than Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren.
Here's the other thing I'd rather see, and I wonder if you agree. I can't remember whether I got an email or a text from or a tweet from a listener that when you watch their short yardage, it's very stubborn. It's we're just going to line up and shove it down your throat with a running back. I'd almost rather see, even in those situations, you know, Pat Freiermuth post up for a little short pass or even Pickens with a 50-50. Then just line up arrogantly and say, we're going to block you and turn around 6 yards behind the line and give it to Warren. Or I'd rather see an honest, you know, full-blown tush push where Fields is out there at 230 pounds with Najee pushing from behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring the H back in motion, Michael Pruitt, whoever, and have your quarterback take the snap from under center and push him a yard if you need a yard. Now, the one thing that's a little bit of a holdup there is Justin Fields' issues being under center. So maybe if it's fourth and one, Joe, maybe you keep Russell Wilson in the game and you bring Michael Pruitt or Pat Freiermuth in motion and you just push him forward. I know they've done that once or twice this year, but to me, when it's fourth and one, just do that. You know, just get the momentum going forward, have your tight end or your fullback line up behind you and push you for that yard.
Ray Fittipaldo, read his stuff at postgazette.com, as I mentioned. All right, how about the Pickens situation? The Hail Mary at the end of the game. The looming question seems to be, did George get ridden out of the end zone? Did he have no fault here? Or did he selfishly get himself engaged or not get himself disengaged to try and make a play on the ball? Which to me, as our friend Pony said the other day, if that's the case, that's worse than Tyreek Stevenson jawing with the fans on that Hail Mary for the Bears, because at least he came back and got involved in the play. What happened, Ray?
Well, there's no way that's worse than Tyreek Stevenson. But I will say, you know, George has to develop a little bit better football savvy. Officials are not going to call interference on that play. So if he indeed is getting interfered with, as Mike Tomlin and others have hinted at, and let's face it, that's probably the case. The Browns would be stupid not to put hands on a guy there. So if that's the case, instead of getting ridden out of the end zone and getting into a fight, throw the guy. Listen, we all know George is strong. He can block people. Throw that guy off. You commit offensive pass interference, put it in the official's hands, and get to the center of the pack there and high point the ball like you're supposed to. So listen, he's still young. He's very emotional. He tends to get caught up in that stuff. But that's what I talk about when, you know, just being a smart football player. You know, have some savvy about you. If they're going to put hands on you, you put hands on them and go make a play.
Well, wait a second. If he chose to retaliate there instead of disengaging himself and went out of the end zone and completely took himself out of the play, never participated in the play, how's that worse than Tyreek Stevenson? At least he ran back into the play.
Yeah, but I mean, George, like, that guy was never in position to make a play. I mean, to me, that I would have cut Tyreek Stevenson. You could argue. I mean, that guy, I think it was Newsom, right? Newsom had his hands on him and pushed him out of the end zone. For whatever reason, George didn't want to stop, or George maybe was concerned about offensive pass interference. I can't get into George's mind. He's supposed to talk today.
That should be interesting.
So, yeah, we'll see what he actually has to say about it. He declined an interview request when we asked him on Wednesday. So, you know, we'll let George talk about it. But listen, Mike Tomlin kind of had his back. Now, I know Mike always has his back, but, you know, it seems to me if, you know, they have access to the All-22, it seems to me that there was probably some defensive holding or pass interference that was taking place there with Newsom.
What time is Pickens talking?
Well, they practice ends at 12:30, so he'll probably talk about 1 o'clock, 1:15, something like that.
Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers is on that case right now. He'll be ready for that sound. That's going to be interesting, because that was, to me, that was ridiculous. It really was. You got to find a way to get yourself in the play. It looked to me like Newsom was holding him for a while by the arm, but then it looked like George was retaliating and had him by the helmet and just went off to the back of the end zone while a critical play is happening. But anyway, may I engage Ray in a game of free association, Sean?
You may.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Kabali recently. Pick a year for the next Minka turnover. 2024, 2025, or 2029?
2024. He almost had that one against the Ravens. So 24.
All right. So in the next few games here, maybe. Very possible.
Very possible, yes.
I think it's going to be against Jameis Winston coming up here. All right, Steelers still win the division, yes or no?
I'll go no now.
Who do you think they play in the first round of the playoffs in that case?
I think could be Texans. Could be traveling to Houston. And, Joe, that might not be a bad matchup for the Steelers.
Yeah, I think that would actually be a decent one. Alex Highsmith plays or no?
Gut reaction, I'm going to say, I think it's 50-50. I'm going to say no.
Is Najee nursing an injury right now or no?
No.
Over under 0.5 fades to Cordarrelle Patterson with the game on the line in the end zone.
It better be under.
Over under 0.5 reverses to Cordarrelle Patterson in the red zone.
Better be under.
We complimented Artie Smith earlier. What is he doing, Ray?
I mean, you might as well hand it off to Michael Pruitt if you're going to do that. They have, at this stage of their careers, they're about the same speed.
Yeah, or throw a fade to Skoranek if you want to do that. Prediction on the game. Who wins here?
I think I'm going against the grain here. I know a lot of my colleagues are picking the Bengals. I'm going to go high scoring. I'm going to go Steelers 38, Bengals 34.
Wow. So a huge game for Russ.
Yeah, I think so. And the offense.
Over under 0.5 targets for Mike Williams and what has happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, let's go over with that. And I think maybe Art, I don't want to say has learned a lesson, but they acquired him for a reason. I think they got to start using him.
I have no further questions, Ray. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Have a good weekend.
You too, man. Ray Fittipaldo, again, postgazette.com. His appearance brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Nick Kostos coming up. No, Nick Kostos. He's off today on this huge Thanksgiving weekend of football? What? All right, then let's go with this coming up, because I was going to get to this anyway. Is Artie Smith in North Carolina? We just talked about it there. And Artie Smith in general, he's become the story of the week, I think. Did you hear his comments, as Ray Fittipaldo and many others heard them, that you know, basically laughing at this? No chance? Because to me, when your first words upon being asked about that topic are, "That's not my focus," my eyebrows go up like this. See my eyebrows, Sean?
Definitely going up, yep.
Now, he got a little bit more, you know, "My perspective is different than when I would have gone to any head coaching job before." It was a lot of words. "I've got something good here. My family loves it here." Okay. But we all know if he got an NFL coaching job, he'd be gone in a second after the season. Right? Any NFL job, I would argue, he would be gone in a second. There's 32 of those things on the planet, and about a handful are nailed down by guys who aren't going anywhere for a long time, probably. So there's, 25, 27 of those jobs on the planet. If you're Bill Belichick, maybe you can afford to sit back and wait through a cycle. If you're Artie Smith, you go for the first job. And this is college, which is different, obviously. This is NIL and everything else involved with college, but it's your alma mater. You had a chance to stand there and say, "That is not something I'm going to do. I appreciate them reaching out. Not happening. Instead, he said, "That's not my focus." That's way different to me. But anyway, then there's the whole question of, if they lost Artie Smith, would you be, you know, in tears over that? I guess we'll see over these next 6 games. Again, obvious upgrade on Matt Canada. And there are some things I've really liked about Artie. But man, it's taken a little bit of a slide here. The honeymoon is absolutely over. What are we going to see in these final 6 games? 412-928-9370. Let's talk about Arthur Smith, the guy who replaced Canada. The numbers are up. Some of them, conventional numbers. But again, red zone, significantly worse than Matt Canada's final season here. Third down conversions, significantly worse. Steelers still not a top 10 offense by any stretch of the imagination. And in their first few games in the AFC North, they've been a dud, a total dud. 18 and 19 points or whatever it was. 928-9370. So which is it? The Joe Starkey Show or the Pomp and Joe Show? That guy can't seem to decide. It's the Pomp and Joe show, for God's sakes. Even when Pomp isn't here.
It's Donnie Football Friday, too.
It's a Donnie Football Friday. We feel Pomp's luminous. Is that the right word? Presence when he's not here? And, of course, Donnie Football. He will join me at 1 o'clock, and I'm going to try to rope him into joining me for the whole hour, I might add. He just doesn't know that yet. Speaking of Matt Eberflus, some incredible stats, not just from yesterday's game, but yesterday's game added to it. The loss marked Chicago's sixth straight and dropped the Bears to 4-8, okay? He's 5-19 now in one-score games. It's the worst record, with at least 20 of those, in the history of the league. In 7 points or fewer, so one score is obviously 8 or fewer, in games decided by 7 or fewer points, he's 5-17, okay? Guess where that ranks among 221 NFL coaches who have had at least 20 games decided by 7 or fewer points. Of the 221, where does he rank?
218.
221.
Ah, I was close.
How do you justify keeping him? But we didn't come here to talk anymore, Matt Eberflus. Now we're talking Artie Smith. He's the story of the week here. Maybe I'm nuts. I didn't hear him shut it down yesterday. Could have shut it down. Didn't shut it down. The talk of going to his alma mater. And this whole idea of, yeah, Artie's said a couple times this year, you know, things to the effect of, I don't have to worry. Good thing I don't have to worry about that. I'm not a head coach. That is not indicative, I wouldn't think, of his attitude toward being a head coach again. And if an opportunity came around at the end of the season, as Diana Russini reported yesterday, that his name will be floated out there in this coaching cycle, he would absolutely go back to being an NFL coach. And I happen to think that he might heavily weigh coaching at his alma mater. You?
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised if he's an NFL head coach next year. I don't think that he's done enough to merit that.
I don't either. That's the topic I was about to get to. Would he take the job, though? Any job in the NFL, I would think.
Yeah, probably.
Even
I would
the Jets.
Imagine. Yeah, I think so. I mean, what's the worst job? Jacksonville, maybe?
I don't know. You still have a quarterback you might be able to work with there.
Yeah,
if you're in Artie Smith's position, can you afford to say no to any job that's available? I don't think so.
No, I think he would take whatever. I don't know that, I mean, these guys are different. I don't know that I would want anything to do with being a college football head coach at this juncture.
I do hear that.
Especially if it's at a school that it's going to be, you're kind of already behind the eight ball to some extent at UNC. It's not like a great football tradition.
No, but they do get some talent there. They've had some talented players.
I think it's
a place you could recruit to. I honestly do. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. But the other question is, and I'm with you, what's he doing this year that would make him a hot coaching commodity? Like, what? I'm not saying he's doing a bad job. I'm not saying he's doing an okay job right now. I thought it was good for a while, but when you really analyze it to this point, and the story is largely to be told, or maybe fully to be told here over these final six games and the playoffs, hopefully. Against bad teams, they've lit it up. Against good teams, they largely have not. So we'll see what happens now down the stretch. He did not bring them back to the top 10 in the NFL. Their red zone offense stinks. Their short yardage offense stinks. And their third down offense stinks. They're absolutely more explosive. They look like a more mature professional offense without a doubt than they did under Matt Canada. But again, that might be the all-time example of damning with faint praise. If I'm looking for a head coach in the NFL, Artie Smith is nowhere near my radar. Not only is he not on it, he's nowhere near it. You?
He would be a very underwhelming hire for any fan base. I don't know who would get excited about bringing him in.
Nobody. It would be like when they brought him in here as a coordinator.
It would be a consolation prize at best. There's so many more Obviously, you know, anyone associated with the Lions right now would probably be a better choice. There's
how about
always
the Bears? Does he know how to handle late game situations?
Well, I guess you can't get much worse than how that played out. But yeah, I mean, there's always guys from college ranks that are looking to make the jump to the NFL as well. So I would imagine he would be like a last resort type of choice for a team that might strike out with two or three other candidates.
They have the 14th ranked offense in scoring right now. And again, they've done a lot of their damage against the Raiders, Jets, Giants of the world, right? Against teams that are in playoff position, the Steelers average under 20 points per game. Now, if they go out down the stretch here and just start lighting it up, and maybe in a game or two where they need to outscore the Eagles or the Chiefs or one of these Bengals games or whatever, and they do that and they're rolling, then you have momentum if you're him. And then maybe you become a more attractive candidate. But right now, I mean, I would honestly argue that the people, including myself, who were sort of nonplussed with the Arthur Smith hire here, are probably more right than people who were wildly excited about it. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, it never felt like a swing for the fences, right? It kind of felt like a safe choice, a guy that you're probably going to know will be solid, but not incredibly creative, but he's not going to be a disaster either. So kind of a middle of the pack guy. And I don't know why that would be a future head coach for a guy that really hasn't already had success as a head coach. It was probably a failure overall in Atlanta.
Right. I mean, and I've complimented Arthur Smith at times. I think he's called some really good games and it's definitely an improved product, but for the billionth time, you know, it would have been hard not to have it. The guys they had last year, when they shared the job, I don't even remember their names right now.
Mike Sullivan,
yeah, and the running
Faulkner,
backs.
Right?
Faulkner,
yeah.
That's right. They did a better job. You know what? You know what? A great little project would be for the break here, and I know it's a tiny sample size, but so is this. Compare the numbers those two guys did compared to Artie right now. That would be fascinating. Two guys were an immediate and huge upgrade on Matt Canada. So that wasn't going to be hard to do. I want to see a lot more from Arthur Smith. The people who were not excited, who were just sort of, okay, with the hire, are more right than the people who were like, wow, they just hit a home run. They might have, did they hit a double here? Maybe. Maybe it's a single they stretched into a double. They didn't hit a homer with Arthur Smith, at least not that I see yet. But I'd love to discuss that with you at the top of the hour. 412-928-9370. Injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. It seems like Alex Highsmith is still 50-50 talking to Ray Fittipaldi.